And now we turn to our weekly weather update and climate look with retired National Weather Service meteorologist Hugh Johnson. Welcome back, Hugh.
How you doing, Bria?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. What a beautiful Earth Day we had. Barely a cloud in the sky, deep blue sky. Quite a nice, refreshing change from the last few days where we were plagued with clouds, especially yesterday.
Yeah, so Earth Day is April 22nd each year and initiated in 1970 to focus attention on the planet's well-being. Can you tell us a little bit of history of the event?
Well, it actually happened, as you say, in 1970. Basically, we had a gentleman by the name of Gaylord Nelson. That was his brainchild, and he worked on it. And a lot of people came out into protests activists came out, like thousands, if not a million folks came out in that first year to really get it going. And it's like kind of ironic. It was under Richard Nixon, a Republican administration. He also founded the EPA. So, and my first Earth Day, I remember this, was kind of funny. My science teacher gave us, told me an experiment to do. And remember those old vacuum cleaners, those old cylindrical Hoover vacuum cleaners that were really noisy? Well, anyways, I took one and I put a tissue paper on the end of the hose, and I was sucking towards the air into the house from outside. And I was amazed how much soot I got on that piece of tissue paper. The air quality. And I lived in Philadelphia. It was a nice day. Remember that first Earth Day was a nice day. It was a little warmer than today. It was near 70, but it was very sunny, and it was a nice day. But even on that nice day, I got a lot of soot on that piece of paper, which showed that the air had some issues. And, it's funny because back in the day, in 1970, we had a lot more smog than we do now. So we had a lot more aerosols, big aerosols, from lead. We were still using lead in gasoline and lead in paint, as the last lecture talked about, the lead paint dilemma. That was still going on. But here's the problem. I mean, we have Earth Day. It's great. And I did a little cleanup. I try to do cleanups on Earth around Earth Day, go out to the trails or whatever. But let's put something in perspective. In 1970, the atmosphere only had 310 ppm parts per million of CO2. And that was, the first Earth Day. Now, 54 years later, or as we've discussed many times, our ppm is well over 400. So it's gone up over 25% or so. So even though the air has gotten cleaner, we're still putting CO2 in the air unchecked. And that's a problem.
Right. Hugh, so have you seen the climate change since 1970? And has Earth Day helped us advocate for environmental protections?
Yeah, definitely. There's been climate change. Absolutely. We've warmed the Earth about a degree Celsius, almost 2 degrees Fahrenheit. Our winters are about 6 degrees warmer now than they were in 1970 in Albany. Our springs are about 2 degrees warmer. April, ironically, is probably the month that has warmed the least, less than a degree. And I think that in November, there are 2 months that for some reason haven't taken off on. But, every other month is warmed up several degrees, if not more. So, yeah, huge. And, of course, our precipitation has changed. We're much wetter than we were in 1970. We averaged like 3 or 4 inches more of rain than we did in 1970. Snowfall, a little less, but still not that much less because we're getting more moisture kind of offsetting the temperature. So I'm sorry, what was the second part of your question?
Oh, I was asking whether Earth Day has helped us advocate for environmental protections.
I certainly try to, yes.
So we think of climate as mostly impacted by large entities like corporations. Governmental policies would seem to be most effective in combating this climate emergency. What are some important policies that have been implemented or that are currently pending to slow down climate change?
Well, we're still trying to become more green with the cars, more electric vehicles, but there's still a lot of loopholes. I mean, we have electric vehicles. I think it's like 10% on the road now, so that's a nice little increase. But we still have a lot of problems with electric cars. The biggest problem is the charge, you know, how quickly you can charge a car. You cannot charge a car anywhere near as fast as you can fill up a tank of gas. And I'm not even talking about New Jersey, where it's about twice as long as New York, because you have to go, you know, they do it for you. But even there, if it's 5 or 10 minutes, that's still a lot faster than electric car to charge. We are trying to siphon some CO2 out of the atmosphere. There are machines, we talked about that too, that are actually siphoning some of the CO2 out, but that's a long way from being really effective. I mean, it's in the right direction, but very slowly. You know, basically, there's still a long way to go. We've talked about this. It's a long, long way to go, and we are warming more rapidly every year, it seems. We had the El Nino this year, which probably added a little bit on its own, and that's going away. So it'll be interesting to see next year. If we probably won't be quite as warm, because we'll flip to a La Nina, but we're still warming, as you well know, and probably not enough's being done. I mean, again, Earth Day is great, and we've really cleaned up again the air quality. We've cleaned up parks and things like that in some cases, but the bottom line is we're still in trouble.
Right, and speaking of policy, there's this kind of buzzword that's been used mostly by a lot of operations recently, and that's the carbon offsets. And last year, between September 4th and 6th, actually, in there was the African Climate Summit, which took place in Kenya and was co-hosted by Kenya and the African Union. Yeah. And for a lot of young Kenyan climate activists, they were mentioning how concerned they were about the fact that instead of there being a more focus on other sustainable measures, most of the policy that was being pushed by, you know, corporations to African governments was them advocating for climate offsets. And so I'm just curious, do you think carbon offsets, do you think carbon offsets are going to be effective at helping us to correct climate change or mitigate
The jury's still out on that. And again, you know, we know what's happening this year. I'm not going to get into politics, but we have a major election coming, presidential election coming up, and we know which side stands for which. And neither side is doing enough to, in my humble opinion, to reverse the trend that we're seeing now. But certainly the other party would even be less doing effective for that change. So I don't think they're doing enough. If that's what you're now. And Africa is probably the continent that's in most trouble, because I've seen heat in Africa, in portions of Africa where temperatures have been so hot, it's unlivable, and people have died because of it. And, you know, of course, in Africa, you don't have as much air conditioning. You don't have the facilities that you have in other continents. So I think that's we're already seeing a failure, crop failure and things like that, because of the incredible heat and drought and floods that are going on. By the way, just to throw this out, Dubai, the other in Arabia, had a 6-inch rainstorm about 10 days ago, which is more rain than they have normally in a year. They got more rain in one day than they get in over a year. So we're seeing all kinds of, you know, this incredible intense and climate weather things going on, that again, one event doesn't qualify for a climate change. But we've seen so many of these events now. And Africa, like I said, is probably the continent that's most in trouble because of the intense heat and the, you know, the economy being not as strong as other, you know, other areas of the world. So that unfortunately, I'm not painting a good picture here, but that's the way I see it.
I want to switch back to local issues. You mentioned the dirty air earlier when you vacuumed with your cleaner, which I thought was really interesting. I've never tried that. And I just read an article in the Times Union about how we might have to deal with those Canadian wildfires again this summer, which will certainly polluted our air last summer. What do you think about that?
Well, there are still festering fires up in Canada, believe it or not. There's still like very, very low grade burning going on. And it was very dry.
They've been burning since last year?
Yeah, yes, in the ground, we call them peat fires, or they basically just smoldering. I guess smoldering is the better word to use. But the problem is it's been dry in Western Canada. We had a wet winter. We had a lot of rain and into March. March was very wet. And well, February was dry, but you know, up in Canada, it's been pretty dry much, and they didn't have that much snow either. So unfortunately, the antecedent conditions are favorable for possibly more fires to erupt as we get into the next month or so. We'll have to see how that goes, but it doesn't, no guarantee it's going to happen, but I guess the odds are a little better than more favorable that we will see more Canadian fires. And unfortunately, some of that smoke could very well get back down here. I hope not, but it is a possibility. And even if it's funny, because even if we have a wet summer, it could be dry in Canada, and it won't matter because we're getting the smoke from there, even though we're not getting the actual fire. But the smoke and the air quality issues that we all dealt with last year was pretty awful.
It's been a fickle spring so far. It was pretty warm the week of the eclipse, but it seems to have cooled down a bit as we headed later into April with a whole bunch of more rain. Is it true that we have cooled down, and why do you think that is happening?
Well, we did cool down relative to climate. I mean, today actually turned out, I got to 60, which is not far from from the normal high, but the lows have been a little bit colder. And again, we had a little piece of the polar, what's left of the polar vortex, come on down and bringing a couple of chilly rounds of air. We're going to get another one later this week too. So tonight, I hope you didn't plan anything yet, because we're going to get down to freezing tonight. We're still actually not quite at our basically our average for our last freeze, or even frost for that matter. Our last freeze is about a week from now on climatologically average. It's a few days earlier than what it used to be. We haven't changed as much in the spring as we have in the fall. We definitely extended in the fall. We now extend the season about a week to 10 days, but it's less than a week, I think, in the spring. And we still could get a frost. And by the way, you can get frost even with temperatures above freezing into the mid-30s, because the ground is colder than that. So you can definitely get frost, and that can still do damage. We can get that well into May, even past Mother's Day for that matter. So we're not quite out of the woods yet with that. And we're gonna have a chilly night tonight, and we're gonna probably have a couple more at the end of the week.
So still too early to get the crops going, but what's the anticipated upcoming weather for the rest of this week?
Well, okay, so tomorrow will actually be the warmest day of this week coming up, at least the weekday of Monday through Friday. We'll pop into the 60s with a south wind, lots of sunshine, although we'll see clouds increase late in the day. And then we have a little bit of rain on Wednesday. It's not going to be a big deal, but still going to knock the temperatures down, be kind of another cloudy, kind of gloomy-ish day. And actually, we're going to get a front through, and there could be a few grapple showers floating around in the valleys, and maybe some wet snow showers in the higher terrain. I don't think any accumulations, but it could be kind of a chilly evening on Wednesday. And then Thursday and Friday, like I said, will be chilly, cold mornings, you know, in the 50s in the afternoon. But then on the weekend, it looks like we'll finally see a pattern change. We'll see a ridge building back in, and a southerly flow that will take hold, and this time will stay. And we'll see temperatures not so warm on Saturday with a little bit of rain, but then on Sunday and Monday, we could soar into the 70s and even make a run at 80 degrees. You heard that right, 80 degrees, yeah. So we finally get, we might get an 80 in here in April before April's over. So that'll be kind of nice.
Something else I heard was grapple showers. Can you briefly explain that? Briefly.
Soft tail. It's just basically precipitation is coming through the clouds. It's partially frozen, and it can get, because it's really cold aloft, it can actually be driven down to the ground even with temperatures well above freezing. We won't be anywhere near freezing when this happens. It's soft tail, basically.
Thanks, Hugh, for joining us once again. We look forward
to
talking to you next week.
All right. Have a great one, folks. Happy Earth
you
Day.
You too. Thanks.
You too.
Bye-bye.